Aww.
Well, I did message you an hour early saying, hey.
No, well, that's
fine. Hey, what you doing?
Sitting here usually working on stuff.
Yeah, cool. Cool. nice to see you in the shop.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be in the shop. That whole home setup keeps giving me audio fits. As you could probably tell last time, it was blown out. I couldn't fix it after the fact.
My mic was hot last week, too. I'm going to keep a fist and thumb distance.
Fist and thumb. Hmm. What if it, like, shocked you when you got too close?
Nice. Yeah, I rolled in a little bit early this morning thinking I'll go and play with the robots. Go and tickle some robots at 5 a.m. just for fun.
Ooh.
But then when I got here, I thought, maybe I'll see if you're online. Talk to you, have a coffee. Do that first.
You tickle me instead.
Do you take rapid code?
Yes, I can.
Insert tickle function.
I saw a guy. Have you ever seen this guy who can, like, speak seemingly, like, every language? He does, like, YouTube videos and TikToks and stuff, and he can, like, speak perfect Mandarin with, like, the perfect dialect, but he's just, like, he looks like a normal white American guy, and he always, like, freaks people out. And, like,
I think so, yep.
Like, you know, American Chinese restaurants and stuff. He just did one where he was trying to mess with, like, GPT, where he he started doing binary to it. He's doing all these different languages back and forth, and he's like, oh, that's a good one. Do you know, let's stick to a normal language. Like, it couldn't really handle it or something, or maybe it didn't make any sense.
Yes. What's happening in the PDX shop?
We're slammed. Breaking?
Yeah.
Sick. Had one of those jobs that never goes through that went through finally, where somebody wants a custom pegboard. And I go, okay, it's let me calculate how much that'll cost. And they're like, yep, sounds good. Let's start. And we have a deadline at, you know, this time. And I'm like, well, that means we need to start, like, the first day we're back from Labor Day, like this Tuesday. And so we started, and we've been running that since. But it's like almost 100,000 holes in the job.
100,000 holes. Interpolated or drilled?
Drilled.
Sick. Yeah, wow. He's double stacking really sheets, yeah?
Nah.
Come on,
one side
man.
Has to be
stack him up.
Pretty pristine retail display.
Yeah, sure.
Luckily, the backside doesn't have to be perfect, even though the way we drill them, they tend to be pretty good, but you never quite get as good a surface on one side.
Yeah. Yeah, the last mega hole job we did was for climbing, like a bouldering gym. It's a grid. Mm-hmm. Grid of holes for thread certs on birch panels. And we got it, like, yeah, I remember we got the strategy pretty good, but, like, it wasn't perfect on the back face. A little bit of blowout. Yep. You're punching that many holes.
You basically it's have tricky, to keep servicing to your swivel consistent. Board over and over, or shifting it, or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
It's a nice kind of job. Like, I've never actually done it, because everybody always balks at the price. Mm-hmm. You know, because, and I just telling Ricky about it when I quoted it, and he's like, well, you can't rush holes. And I was like, you can't rush holes, can you? Like, that's just, they take what they take. Like,
wise words from Ricky.
I was a little concerned always about vacuum hold down, and we basically had zero problem. Like, our strategy with that has always been manage the zones or. In this case, we're using, like, e-flute, basically, like, mat board, and covering up areas that have been cut and progressing backwards. And it's smart. Rock solid, so.
Cool. Yeah.
I'd say that the other thing that comes from that is it is warm here, not as warm as it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, I always forget what, 38 Celsius.
Yeah,
it's supposed
hot.
To be that. It's currently like 81 Fahrenheit to 27. So it's way less, but our back room where those vacuum hold down motors are is currently 101 degrees. And we've tried to, I don't know. I was looking into like, I was thinking through the process of, do you find a way to like air condition them basically? Because I have, it's at the back of our shop. I can't like push it outside. And even if I could, it's hotter outside like in this situation. So like the motors, if they get too hot, will fail. And then I can't make the, keep the job going. So currently we're just kind of like, it's working for now, but like, when is it going to be too much of continuous running? I don't know.
Bags of ice. You've basically made us just turn the back room into a sauna.
That's what
will help your motors, but
make a little money on that. That's what Erin said. She's like, get a big block of ice and a fan. I was like, I don't want to deal with that. if it would even work, it just doesn't seem feasible to me.
I mean, there's probably no airflow in that room, right? It's just a little hot box.
No, we have an exhaust fan on it, and then okay. We've been keeping unwillingly, but it's the best solution we could think of. The door is propped open, and we have another fan blowing into it currently. So it's, you know, I got here, it was 80 degrees, and it's crept up to 101 now, and that's pretty much, I think it got to 104 yesterday. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to spend a bunch of money on an air conditioner.
No, you don't want to cook your job halfway through either, though. Huh?
No.
Yeah.
No, I know. I was trying to think of like ways you could like use like portables to like exhaust and then like filter the air between, and then the problem is getting the heat out of the shop somehow.
Because our vac pump, like our big rotary vane vac pump, it's like a giant space heater. Like it outputs a giant stream of hot air. Like yours do the same thing, right? Your little hair dryers? Your F.
Yes.
What are you talking about there?
Something like F4. It's something like 10,000 BTU. We had at one point an engineer when we were making that room calculate it.
Yeah, right.
So it's a ton of heat. Ton of heat.
Yeah, to me, it's a lot to combat.
Yeah. Right. So it's
Johnny
sort of
plumbed
working.
Plumbed the output of our big vac pump into a suit once on a cold winter's day.
That sounds
put the exhaust
brutal.
up his leg into it. Like, he was like an inflatable bibendum, but he was warm for about 2 minutes before he overheated it himself.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing some very janky probing with the robots yesterday/ what I'm hoping to continue this morning. I have time with my 3D printed pointy nose probe bolted onto the flange of the robot and sort of driving it around trying to find locations in the real world. But so...
Yeah.
So dodgy and inaccurate. Like I was it's just like
what's
a
the
black,
method? Like what are you using?
Black PLA cone. It's just a cone printed in PLA. And I'm driving it around and going, touch. Okay, what's that position?
Make it not black so you can see the tip a little bit easier too, maybe.
Smart. Well, the tip is now like ground off from like rubbing against my plywood fixture, so it's no longer any like sense of precision is gone.
Can't rub your tip off.
Well, I did. I gone and did it already, and now I don't know how fastidious to be because I'm gonna have to comp it all on the CAD side of things anyway, and I'm just sanding.
Yeah,
and so it's kind of a low precision application. So it's probably okay and I'll get away with it. But anyway, basically I was putting a new fixture on the ground send you a picture. Bolting this new like riser and fixture down to do the shelf sanding. And yeah, I kind of dialed it in using this probe yesterday afternoon. It took ages faffing around. But I got there and sort of got my like vacuum, that pod and rail thing we made a while ago. Got that bolted down and,
right.
Yeah, I'm almost at a point where I can sort of like suck a shelf onto it and drive it around and see if, yeah, I got,
do you like got very close the to mounting... that yesterday. Sorry.
No.
Do you, I'm trying to think of how you'd tram things with that. Is it just like any other situation where you're like using the spindle and like set a tram indicator on it and using a giant sledgehammer?
Yeah, I should do something like that. I don't have a tramming gauge.
Oh, you need one of them babies.
I don't know, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? No, I mean, there's no spindle on this machine. It's just my, like...
Oh, right.
It's just my old, like, AliExpress cheap sander on a 3D printed adapter on the end of the robot. So, yeah.
So, does something stay... There's got to be something. I mean, like, so on the mill... I don't have a flat spot really till I just slap the indicator on like the outer spindle round housing and it stays. It's got a little bit of a concave part on the bag base and then do it basically off of anything.
Oh, you mean just actually, I see what you're saying. Like if I put my, like my dial indicator magnet that onto the robot head. Hey, smart. Yep. Why hadn't I thought of that?
I mean, it's going to, I don't know how sensitive it all is. Like, you may need like a low sensitivity one since it's so, I don't know, big and probably has some wiggle to it, I assume, when you move. I'm sure it doesn't perfectly.
It's got weak. Yeah, it does. When it stops, you can see it. If you do like a hard stop, you can see it go dig, 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 dig a little bit. So it's definitely got wiggle. The old 20-year-old robot's got the wiggles.
You should put a little spring. Spring's on my desk. Put a spring with a little red ball on top of it, so when it stops, you can see it go...
Yeah.
Just increase. Would that help or hurt? I think it would counteract, but then it would keep it moving afterward.
I think it would hinder. Had a wobbling weight. So it feels like lately I haven't had much time for the robots, which I haven't. So it's nice to get a couple of hours on it yesterday. Make some progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is all, really.
Yeah, cool.
Haven't made another YouTube video. I've just been stuck in quoting drawing land as per usual.
Right. I started filming, so my Monday was national holiday of Labor Day, which is always a bit confusing to me because it's always like, oh, so I can labor today. Lovely. And Erin kindly said she would watch our kid, and so I got a free day Monday, two-thirds a day. And what I chose to do instead of... I felt like weird. I don't know. I felt weird like I should be doing like product development. Like, oh, that's the time I get to do that. But then I was like, we've had this, all the material for an extrusion, aluminum extrusion, shipping and assembly storage area. Because it's like underneath our products, there's just one little weird IKEA desk that we use for the shipping computer. But we have all this other like floor space underneath there that's not being used. And the plan was always like cabinets or something. And what we kind of came to over time was if we did like an extrusion frame, you know what I mean? By like 40-40 or something like that. Yeah. Okay. So I bought all the parts. I got them cut. I like loosely planned it out. And I started filming it and I was like, well, you know, because I can't just make something, I was like, well, maybe I'll maybe this will be used, you know, I can turn this into like a video. Like, it took me like 4 or 5 hours to put together one frame of three frames. There's like three sections. And all I could think was like, this is just incredibly boring. Like, I don't know how I make this interesting at all. Like, who cares about, like, it's not even unique in most senses. I think what might be interesting is what we end up doing with it. So like all the building will be like a minute, even though it took me like a day and a half. But I don't know. I don't know what to do with it at this point. It just feels feels like 30 gigs for nothing, you know?
Yeah. That'll sit on a hard drive for a while.
Just fill up my phone.
Yeah. But was the project a success? Never mind the video.
Oh, it's just clogging up our walking space right now. I've only got one okay. of three sections done because then Tuesday rolled around and we got this job and I needed to order stuff. And so now it's Thursday and I'm still walking around the thing. So maybe today I'll go out and put some more of it together. But I'm like, do I film more or do I just keep moving on since it's going to be a bad video?
Man. Move on.
It's you don't want to watch it, you're saying.
It's funny, yeah. It's funny the things we convince ourselves are a good idea when we have extra time. Like I did that the other night. I was like, Laura and I were both working after the kids were asleep at our desks at home. And I was like, you know, in theory, I should have just kept doing what I'd been doing during the day, which was trying to catch up on all the drawings I was behind on. But because it was kind of bonus time after hours, my brain does this thing where it's like, no, I'm going to treat myself to... I'm still working, but I'm going to treat myself to a different flavor of work.
Oh, yeah, me too, me too.
And of something that, yes, it was a good project, and I'm glad I did it, and it was valid, and it was contributes to the business, but it was like, completely no time pressure. Like I could have done it this week or I could have done it in 6 months. Right. And it's kind of like this weird like reward system for my brain of like, oh, I'm going to do the fun thing that's a distraction, but I can justify it as
same
work.
Thing.
Yeah.
The same thing.
But I sent it to you. It was that carbon reporting thing that I spun up.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we should definitely talk about that. That was very cool. It's got, I will say, it's got a little bit of vibe coding flavor to it.
Oh, yeah.
It is it is pretty, but it's got the, like, yeah. It doesn't look like the rest of your site, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And it's not bad. It's just, like, it could be you exported it from some app, right? And it dumped it on here for you is what it kind of looks like. But it's very cool.
Yeah, because we've paid for that previously. So this is part of my like ongoing subscription cost reduction regime. And we've paid for that for a few years and we get like a report every year. So, and it's not like... You can pay like $30,000 a year and you get like official, you are carbon neutral certified, blah, blah, blah. This is more like, no, we'll track all your energy inputs and we'll do a report for you and we'll, you know, we'll tell you where you're at, but we're not going to officially accredit you because that costs way more. It's like, cool, all right, that seems like a good balance. So I've done that for a number of years and it's important to me, but also like the whole thing is a bit of a joke. Like carbon offsetting is so ridiculously cheap. So like our shortfall last year was 30 tons and it cost like it's like $30 a ton or something. So what's that like under $1,000 to like offset our difference
per ton
at the end of the year of like to then be 900. Carbon neutral. Which is fine, and like that money is legitimately going to some project, which is planting trees and offsetting carbon, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like it's so ridiculously cheap for even a small business like us to just be able to go, yeah, just pay our way out of that difference.
Yeah.
At the end of the year. Anyway, so
I
built
hearing
this.
Some...
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you go. You go.
No, you need to finish your story.
Cool. Swing back to it. I was just going to say, I just out of curiosity the other night, I was like, I wonder how complex that carbon calculation stuff actually is. And I did some, you know, deep research on it and pulled the energy factors and the calculation methods. And I was like, cool. Oh, well, this is kind of looks pretty straightforward. How can I make this super easy for myself? So I built an agent in SimTheory where I can just upload my energy and waste and various bills.
Yeah.
And it scrapes them and turns them into a consistent JSON output. And then I just dump that JSON output into this web page that I built, which is live on our website, linked in the show notes. And it just takes that data and goes bloop, and plops it in and does all the calculations and tracks our carbon status.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It was fun to do, and it feels like an important thing to track. If I can make it so easy for myself that all I have to do, every time a bill comes in, all I have to do is just dump it through an agent and paste the code over, and that'll just get easier with some API connections or something at some point.
Wow.
Then it feels very achievable to just keep on top of that stuff without having to pay someone else to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what magic you've done. Your agent's done, but it won't let me use the dark mode extension I have on that site on that page.
There's some weird CSS stuff going on.
Actually, your entire website blocks. Maybe I turned it off. Crazy. I was going to say, you were doing far more at this than 98% of businesses, so I applaud you for that. I did see, and this is not surprising because America, that there's suspicion of some major private equity company, among other things, they are taking payments for carbon offsetting and then doing nothing with it.
Yeah.
So, America.
Totally. I can see how that is being rorted. Absolutely. Yeah, that is something I've wanted to make a video about for a long time. It's just that whole world of offsetting and tracking as a small business, and like what you can do.
Yeah,
what's within our grasp to do easily. And
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. In this world of spin-up disposable software, kind of changes the game a little bit in terms of what.
Yeah.
Someone in our position can do pretty easily.
Yeah, I haven't even begun to think about that. It seems, versus where you're at, it seems incredibly challenging. Particularly because, probably just money, honestly, but the one that seems most effective is like solar power that you use, and that I could look into it. I haven't, because it doesn't seem like it would be feasible where I'm at on a rented building, you know, like
challenging for sure,
especially considering the costs of our electricity. Is this is the problem in where I live, is electricity is very cheap.
Is it?
I've looked into it for my home many times, but like our business, our worst energy bill is $250 a month, I want to say, on like a really busy month. So it's like that's never going to pay off solar generation.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So, there's good reasons for it otherwise, obviously.
Yeah.
So I found out yesterday, similar to other scenarios where I have tried to become a distributor of a product line it took a while and it took a lot of different efforts and persistence. And we are officially a Wera tool distributor, though. As of a while back, I didn't know it. It was a confusing situation, but so I haven't got anything listed. We haven't actioned anything because I found out yesterday, but I find their tools to be very satisfying. Yeah. And
Wera. I've never really known how to say that brand.
I don't either.
But I like them. I've got their beautiful color-coded hex wrenches, and they're one of my favorite little hand tools.
Got a whole set of screwdrivers to my side here.
Yeah, and
as an aside here, just a second, your mouse seems very clicky.
Does it?
I know I'm doing a lot too here. I just don't know
very
if
loud
I'm able to edit around it.
I'll use my pad. I bought my dear wife a Wera torque wrench at one point for Christmas, I think.
Wow.
That's beautiful tools.
That would be a great present.
For some.
I don't think this is gonna play. No. Did you hear that? No.
Nah.
It says Wera, the V, which makes sense because isn't Volkswagen with the W supposed to be
Volkswagen Wera.
Like
Wera.
I don't know how to do any of that. Wera. So anyway, I'm not gonna say it right, but yeah, that you hit the first thing that I plan to offer is torque wrenches.
Nice.
And we can obviously get any of their products, but we will stock the Allen keys because I absolutely love those. Probably some screwdrivers, but the torque wrenches are the top. An array of those. I think sell some from Technics. I think we will probably still sell those, but I think that the Wera, however you say it, Wera ones will be top choice.
Yeah, for sure. Are they already on your website or not yet?
No, I haven't done anything yet.
Cool.
I found out yesterday.
Yeah, sick. I just saw you.
They will be. There'll be a link.
Yeah, sick. Nice. Congrats. That's cool.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about it.
I just saw your cute little shipping trolley 8020 project that you sent me.
Mm-hmm. That's one section. I've never done that at all, the extrusion. It's basically totally new to me, which is, I feel a little bit weird that I haven't at this point. Like, it feels like the exact kind of thing I would love. It was fine.
Adult Lego.
Yeah. It's a little bit finicky to get. Like, I kept stopping and trying to get it really well aligned, and I kept going like, does it matter? I'm making a shipping desk, a shipping storage unit, basically, like for boxes and products and stuff. So I kept having to like back away from like, it needs to be just, like how I would normally want something, I guess, put together. Does not matter.
So did you order that just like get cut to size bits of extrusion to suit
what you wanted to make,
or is it just a kit?
This might be the one thing that's moderately interesting about it is I discovered a place, automationdirect.com, which is an American-based website, I think. So I bought some of it early because I knew the price was kind of decently expensive. You can get it on McMaster for the extrusion, and I was like, oh, that's going to be costly. So I got some of it on eBay, and then I discovered that pricing wasn't quite what I thought it was because the seller listed it improperly, and then they sent me like a quarter of what I was supposed to get based on the listing. And so then I was like, okay, that's maybe not the best way to get it. And I kind of expanded what we were going to do with it. So then I discovered Automation Direct, which I probably heard on a podcast. They will just cut and ship you with 2-day shipping, like any extrusion pieces you want for like a real pretty good price, especially considering the cutting. And so that's what I did with the rest of it. I will probably do it that way if I have a project in mind and it's like designed, because it's not hard to cut. It's just weird. I got the hollow stuff, so it's like it kind of like cuts fast through the bandsaw and then drops and scared the crap out of me the first time. And then, I mean, of course, then I was trying to deburr it, and it's weird in a lot of edges. And so I was just like, I don't know, probably just get it ordered the next time.
Some of those websites have amazing configuration tools where you can like build like a whole assembly just in your browser. Have you ever played with those?
Yes, the 80/20 that you were writing was kind of where I started with all of it.
Yeah.
And you can like choose the pieces. The thing that's a little annoying about them is then it's only in their like branded system, whereas all of this stuff is generic otherwise. Like they're just, I ended up getting like kits of connectors from Amazon for a really decent price. And I ended up just putting it all into Rhino, and that was easier in the end. I made blocks and just move my pieces around. And but it is nice that 80/20. Do you know of another one? Another
There's builder? Different. There's a few different builders that I've used. There's like here, and there's Maytech, and there's another one. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, there's a few. But I've always just been blown away by how seamless their online configuration tools are. It's like, well, this is like a full CAD package in a browser that's running surprisingly well. I've done a couple of small projects with them where I've actually built it in the browser and been like, click, place order, and like you get all the bits from it.
Wow.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's nice, and that you get like it also, like, I think the 80/20 one will give you like dimension drawings with all the components labeled and stuff, and it's like,
it's wild.
Yeah, it's kind of worth it. And I suppose you could just do it and then order your own parts somewhere else if you wanted it differently. True. But
it's the kind of stuff.
As of right now, it's not useful. Yeah.
I should really be bearing that stuff in mind with my robot fixturing, I guess, rather than just making everything out of plywood boxes.
So that's where I
could
got
be useful.
The inspiration was my friend David's robot factory, as I like to call it. I don't think he calls it that, but is they use so much of it in their installs and whatever they're doing for their clients that he has a selection of probably stuff he's bought otherwise, but it's just like, maybe cutoffs or drop or whatever it is, and knows all the parts. And so I walk in there and I go, oh my God, I didn't know any of this existed. You know, like these weird, like double, like just so stupid, but it's like, I didn't know that like double version existed, the double tall. And
yeah. Hot.
There's like triple, quadruple, and 2x4, and there's just so many options of it. And the thing that I really took from it is how accurate it is. It's really like super straight and flat for it, especially an extruded material. So yeah, they use it a lot for robot stuff.
That'd be an ultimate situation to actually have it in stock. Then it would become amazingly convenient to like, oh, I need a thing to hold the thing just there. Like, grab some stuff. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was showing him the one I built. He came over to visit this week, actually. And he was like, I was lamenting, like, my slowness. Like, I'm so slow at building this stuff. He's like, yeah, I don't know. I just, over time, I built it up, and I have a little section on my wall that's just extrusion stuff. So I go over, and it's like shopping. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the way to do it.
I was a little bit sad to see that thing you sent me this morning. About
I don't know how to talk about that.
Eric, I don't know how to talk about that either.
Lead, other than just similar feelings.
The little post from Eric Trine. How do you say his name?
I was going to say treen, but again, I've never heard it said, so
me
don't know.
Neither. Treen, trine. Eric, the designer, posted a thing saying he's looking for a real job. And that's something that these self-employed designers, hits a certain note when you see something like that. Don't it?
Yeah. Especially like in his post, he said,
"Shut up, Siri."
You know, he's been self-employed. He's been self-employed for 15 years, and I, you know, reading through his post in his description of his state, I can relate. I haven't been quite to that point, and I'm very lucky to have a supportive partner that probably keeps me from being in that exact situation at times. Just financially, especially. But I think I'm rounding to 15 years of self-employment, and that's hard to hear because the perception, as we always talk about with these things, is like he's such a smart leader of thought and design and stuff throughout the internet that you just assume he's killing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's easy to assume that, isn't it?
And maybe he is, and he's just had some, like you said, he's had some things happen that he didn't get into detail of what, but...
Yeah. It's sort of, you know, I've had a few conversations with other creatives, you know, solo business people around this sort of, you know, area of burnout. And, yeah, I think a lot of people have experienced it, are experiencing it. And not many people talking about it publicly. So, yeah. It's definitely, even the, I saw a post the other night, which I really appreciated, from that coffee guy that you introduced me to, James!
James Hoffman.
Throwback to one of our early episodes, probably. What's his name?
James Hoffman.
The coffee guy. And was this a random post of his talking about, like, pretty much that, of like, you know, when you're working on your own business and your own project, it's so easy to justify, you know, working long hours. It's like, oh, this is for me. It's okay. I can keep working late at night and I can keep pushing, doing 100-hour weeks or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he was just sort of reflecting on that, of like how unsustainable that is, but how easy and sort of attractive it is when you're in that position of like, no, this is valid. Like what I was saying before about like, no, this is valid work. This is, you know, this justifies staying working another 4 hours tonight.
Yep.
Because it contributes. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. Balance is hard.
The thing that I think one of my therapists told me, which made me feel better at the time, a while back, a long time ago, was that I'm a chronic overthinker. I think I've done some work on that that's helped over time, but that people with a conscience and that care a lot, like I see in the way Eric talks about work and sustainability and all these things, I feel like there's probably not a lot of billionaires that have a good conscience like that. You know, like it doesn't also make you a good business person, unfortunately. I don't think those two have a very nice Venn diagram said in the most complimentary way I can to him. Like I can relate. I don't think I've, as you were just talking about, like, do you think calculating your carbon offsetting is making more profit for you? Probably not, you know?
No. Yep. So look after yourself, kids. Take care out there.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it could be worse. He could be sick, I suppose, you know, like...
Sure.
that's not to say that it feels good. Yep.
The follow-up from previous week, I am loving my note is wrong. I've written something about a peach. That is not correct. It's the piece of Inbox 20. I'm loving being in sort of this nice equilibrium, having done all that work on my inbox last week, of sort of sitting around the 20 email mark, and it all fits on a page, on a screen, and I feel much more relaxed about it because I can see it all and it feels achievable.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm in control of it. And I can recommend the peach of Inbox 20.
I think that's about what I would say mine is. My version of that is that Spark email app I use, and probably the one I used before that. It's when the page needs to scroll, and that's when I'm like,
this is
too much. It's all too much. And well, I know exactly why. It's because I can see it all at once. And I don't feel like there's an undescribed amount of extra. And I've chosen to turn off all indicators of how many there are on my phone. I think my phone does show me how many are unread. I should probably change that. It's not helpful, and it just causes me to go back there. Like, that number makes me stressed to see in my dock or wherever else. Oh no. 3,200. Block that.
That's my personal
Jim just sent me a screenshot of his. That's a like butter account, though. 3,237. I don't know how many I have.
Frightening.
I
guess I could.
It says also when I selected all in Spark, it says all selected. It doesn't tell me how many.
Delete.
Thanks.
Delete. Cool.
I don't have a ton of thought. I'm just always, I guess, I suppose, curious if you've had additional thoughts. I've had a decent amount of feedback on people shopping with my money.
What?
Which is, you know, welcome.
People shopping with my money.
Just mill shopping.
Ah, the mill question, yeah. The filing cabinets.
Yeah. Yes. Which filing cabinets should I get? And I don't think I'm any closer. I think I keep flip-flopping around. I think that the obvious answer is to get a 5-axis machine. And what I can't afford really, actually, realistically, unless I get a sweet deal somehow, is like a list price, you know, UMC. Like, they're just, the monthly payments terrify me. And as that being the floor of what you need to pay for, because then there's rigging, there's electrical, I have Cat 40 tooling. I don't have any like work holding for that machine. So it's just like,
yeah.
So I go back and forth of like, do I just try to straight up replace? I go back to my overthinking problem. I can think my way into any of these situations where do I just try to replace my mill as it is with or without any provisions for fourth axis, fifth axis. That's around $100,000, really cheaply done with limited features. And if you look at a UMC list prices, it's closer to $200,000. And it's like, yeah. And then as I posted on Instagram stories, I asked for feedback from people, and it's a really polemic thing to ask for feedback on a UMC, the 5-axis from Haas, because people are already like, I always joke, it's like the Chevy Ford debate used to be, where it's like, I don't even believe in that color, you know, like, and then some other people are making fantastic parts for what they need, And when I question the people that have bad feelings, they are the people making, largely the people making really high tolerance parts and want like Matsura or Hermla quality in a machine. And I can't afford those machines currently. Yeah. So, not looking for that at the moment. But I also don't want to deal with junk. You know, if you're buying a new machine, you don't want to be like, oh, I'd like to pay $2,000 a month for them to come look at it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Additionally, I'm curious what your interests or intentions are with fourth and fifth axis. Is that more around like automation or multi-part sort of stuff?
I mean, if you've heard like Saunders talk about it, or even Dylan has a bit, it's mostly just, as they say, like positional, right? Like it's...
Yeah.
Every part has two setups, basically, unless you're sawing them off. And so if you can get three or four setups knocked out in one situation, there's also just like, it cuts down the... I'm not saying this well. It has so many paths for automation. From Gimbal to what Haas offers to Lights Out. There's just so many people that have come up with methods for automating five-axis machines because you're just loading in this one place. I don't know, center point design, you know, kind of stuff. Like a zero point, I mean.
Zero point, yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I guess, yeah, you just need to work out if you've got a business case to support the repayments, right? Like, I feel like you're going to get what you need out of that machine. Like, I don't know that much about mills, but, like, forget the Ford versus Chevy debate. Like, I think that's just white noise.
Right.
What's the machine you can afford? What, you know, obviously the more functions, the better. But, like, at some point, you just have to do the economics on it, and like,
yeah,
you either use the tools you've got or you work out the maths on.
Yeah, you know, I kind of let it be this like opportunity. The opportunity leads me really quickly towards, if you have it, what can you do with it? You know, like, what's the opportunities?
I know.
So not currently.
Yeah.
Currently fulfilling or, you know, in the case of going to a five axis, I feel like similar to, I think I talked about here with anybody that would listen, going to just a three axis mill over just a router. I was like, I don't even know what I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't,
mm-hmm.
What came from that was fairly three axis parts in what we make for the pedestals. Which is what they, I guess, needed to be, but I also don't have the mindset of like, how would I make parts better with a five axis that are, you know, less human touch. And so, but yeah, I don't know. I have to, business case is probably the way to go rather than hopeful. I tend to buy machines. Hopefully, I think
it's easy to do. Yeah. It's going to unlock so much.
I don't have any.
I don't know what, but it's going to unlock so
client
much.
Client work that would necessitate simultaneous five axis, especially right now. Yeah.
But it's so easy to tell yourself that the work will come when you have the tools. Like, I've been in that position. And maybe it will. But maybe it won't.
What I think about too is it's mostly product related to me. Like I, my goal isn't to build our business. If possible, it's, you know, how do I, I've got products in the works and I'm like, can I make these on this type of machine? You know, like I'm certain I can make, you know, one of them on just a standard three axis mill, but it's like, I've also never tried to automate anything. Like, how do you, I feel like you almost have to have the thing to be able to, I am bad at imagining a workflow until I can play with it, I guess. Maybe I need to get a virtual reality machine and
yeah. I don't know, man. I'm scared of I'm scared of overinvestment. I've burnt myself. So yeah, like hearing friends and colleagues talk about any expansionist ideas, I just have a bit of a gut reaction of like, fuck, HyperWorks for them. And that, you know, I don't want to put, yeah, I'm not putting that on you as like.
No, I think it's, I think I would rather hear
scaremonger, but like, personally, that's just my reaction a bit for these sorts of ideas of like, just because what we've been through over the last 2 years, it's like, oh, wow, yeah.
Right. I mean, in any circumstance, expanding the shop and a machine is a lot of money. So I've tried to this point to create a mindset around creating the opportunity before needing, you know, like when it's obvious you will, you know, buy the machine you need. And I've never really been in that position, which is interesting. I mean, the mill, I suppose, while it fell into my lap, we kind of immediately had a use case for it in the product. It just hadn't been, I'd never done any of that before. It was like, hopefully we will be able to make these metal parts for this product that we've never made or done of any type. Yeah. At least this time I have designed products that I know I can make on it. I don't have a gauge on their demand at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, this last one or no?
What's the weather? Oh, my silly.
It's a test.
My silly use of my best use, my clickbait at the bottom there. Uh-huh. Maybe the best use of AI tools ever. I had a moment this week where I was scoping a kitchen job, a Kitter Parts kitchen, and the client sent me all like an email with all the links of the appliances that they want to put in the kitchen. And whenever I've done this sort of work before, for some reason I just hate going off to like 10 different websites, finding the dimensions of the thing, putting it back, you know, making a table, pulling it, like collating that data. I find that really an annoying task. And then I was like, hang on, I'll just copy this email and give it to my assistant and say, hey, here, I use the Firecrawl MCP, just pull dimensions for all of this, please. And she smashed it. 20 seconds later, had a beautiful list of unverified appliance dimensions. And, you know, I did due diligence. So I was like, cool. It's the first time I've done that. I'm going to now click through and do the job myself and just verify some of these. And I ended up verifying all of them because, you know, I want it to be the right size. But I was very satisfied of like, that is an annoying job I do not like doing. And I just did it like that and got it all right. So that was fun.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Did you break some MCPs this week?
You reminded me and I sent it to you. I turned it off. I can't have it do this again. I asked SimTheory to specifically draft a reply. I don't remember what exactly I gave it. I gave it too much, basically. But I specifically asked for to a draft reply, and it just sent the email with my exact text of my prompt, which was luckily not. It was just like curt. Like it was too blunt.
Yeah.
There was like no kindness to it or. So I immediately followed up with a reply to that customer and said, sorry, those were my notes. I hadn't finished writing and it sent. But like SimTheory just like screwed me real hard. Like,
yeah.
And so I turned off the Gmail connection because I was just like, I can't until there's more safeguards here, I can't do this. Like,
so my note to you, did you see that about like?
I think you're right. I hate that. I don't want a bunch of damn assistants for different things.
Yeah, like, so my note just
I want
for context,
it to all be one note, knowledge base.
No, I get that. I get that. My note to Justin was like, it looks like you're just using your generic, you're like your everyday assistant to do that MCP work. And I feel like you've got to make a specific agent with specific instructions of like, even if you clone your PDX agent and say, make a version of it that is just for working with MCPs or whatever, or just for dealing with Help Scout tickets. I think you've got to do that in the way it currently rides. Otherwise, you end up in some sticky situations.
I tested afterwards and I put some instructions in the connections because I kept the Help Scout one on where I basically said, I always want you to draft a reply in chat and let me confirm it before sending. And I don't know. I honestly don't trust that that's going to work either.
I've had that misbehave as well, but
yeah. I don't know. This is what I meant the other day. I got bit by it, obviously, but that it feels dangerous. It just feels stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, my one last note. I'm literally changing it right now, but the in these pegboard sheets we're cutting over 2,100 holes per sheet. We got one running and then I'm always optimizing as we go. So I like added the dust boot cleaning, macro and
sick.
So it automatically cleans the sheets after you pull, hit enter and clean off the sheet and it cleans it for you, changes the tools back, does all the things. And I noticed that it was raising pretty high on every drilling operation, like more than it should. And I changed it like 0.4 inches and we saved 10 minutes of cutting time per sheet. And I was like, holy crap. All right. Wow. How much more can we save here?
Sick. That's cool. I love
just
that
the
stuff.
Clearance height.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got another one going right now. I should probably go so I can get this.
Me too.
Started.
Let's go do some stuff.
Bye.
Coming. Have a good day. Bing, 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 bing.